You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Another week of broadcasts, and we are deeply grateful for all of those who make these broadcasts possible through your prayers, through your financial support. You can support the ministry in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered on the air, 888-ASK-HANK, as just mentioned, numerically 888-275-4265. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Duane, listening in Boston, Massachusetts, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Duane.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I thank you for your ministry for how you serve the Lord in your capacity. You've been very helpful for me in my walk. A prelude to the question, just really quickly, is I'm looking for a church home, and I was wondering how important it is for to find a church home where on Sundays or on whatever the worship day is, they observe the Lord's Supper.
Well, I think it really depends on how you view church history. If you view church history from the perspective of a precedent for us today, I would say it is critically important, because the central act of worship, the apex of spiritual sacrifice, it took place on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. We see that in the book of Acts. And the Eucharist has always been that supreme act of thanksgiving and praise to God in His church. It was that way all the way through the time of Luther. Luther could not disagree with the papists on this point. He said he would like to, but he could not. This was a celebration that included the most central of all biblical themes, and that is that Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself for us so that we might partake of a relationship with Him that is not esoteric but very real and tangible. So if you look at what the Bible says, Jesus takes the cup, and after supper He says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as I said, for the first, well, millennium and a half of church history, the church was visibly one. It was undivided, and the body and blood of Christ were received as just that. The church confessed that as a mystery, but they confessed that this was the body and blood of Christ. And so when you partook of communion, if you partook of the Lord's table, what you are partaking of is uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated. And so this is a crucial part of being energized, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So I think participating in the real presence of Christ on an ongoing weekly basis has its precedence in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the rest of the Bible, and I think it's something that we ought to practice today.
Thank you very much, Hank. And so you'd say that every Sunday, it'd be important to do that every Sunday, not just Sunday.
I wish I could do it every day.
I hear you. Thank you very much, Hank. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Marcellus in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on WBRI. Hi, Marcellus.
How you doing, Hank? I appreciate your ministry over the years. Been listening since the early 90s, and you've really been a blessing to me and my growth and all of that. And also glad to see how God is recovering you through your cancer.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Just glad you're still here with us. And but look, let me get to my my question so I don't take up too much time. I have a friend of mine that's been haggling over something I'd never heard about before. It's really kind of made him confused or whatever. He's just really struggling with it. And he got some teaching from a guy named Les Feldick. And I guess he said that there was that Peter and Paul taught two different gospels. And I've always had the understanding that there was only one message, but two different messengers, same source. Jesus alone, faith alone, through Christ alone, you understand, and that even though they had two different groups that they ministered to, it was just one message. The Jews have to come through Jesus, and so do the Gentiles. So, are there two different gospels? Is this some kind of false teaching? Because as I've done some research, I'm finding a lot of stuff on the internet about this stuff.
Yeah, I like what you just said. I love what you just said, that it's the same message, two different messengers, and that's absolutely true. And, you know, Les Feldick is communicating an idea that's not just dispensational, but ultra-dispensational. And it's the basic idea that the church did not begin at Pentecost, but it began with the Apostle Paul. And so, as you've rightly said, they have this distinction between the Gospels. You have Peter's Gospel, which was to the nation of Israel, and it was under the law of Moses, and then you have Paul's Gospel to the Gentiles. Well, this, of course, is patently false. And what you said is absolutely not only poignant and memorable, but it's very, very true. There's only always been one gospel. In fact, if you look at the Old Covenant, it is the New Covenant. But the Old Covenant is types and shadows, where the New Covenant is reality, meaning that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. So in the New Covenant, the problem is not suddenly we have now a different covenant. No, we have the fulfillment of the covenant because Jesus Christ has actually come. But Peter was not proclaiming a gospel only under the law of Moses and to the Jews. I mean, you think of what happened in Acts chapter 10, where he has a vision of clean and unclean food. He sees the vision three times, and the reason for the three-time vision is because he's not willing to go to Cornelius and communicate the gospel to him because he wants the gospel to be a parochial gospel. But then he sees the vision, and later on when he's with Cornelius, explains the vision, and he says he now understands that God does not show favoritism, that he was wrong, in fact, that God had corrected him. But God chooses people from every nation and language that love and serve him. So again, Peter is confessing that he was wrong about the very thing that Les Feldick is now purporting to be true. And I think this is a very, very dangerous thing, because if you look at what the Bible is communicating to us as a whole, and this is in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that there is no distinction between people based on gender or based on race or based on position in life. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So no distinction between people based on their genealogy or their gender. I mean, obviously gender matters, there's male and female, but there is no distinction as though one is less important than the other. In Christ, we are one. And so you see in the Old Testament that the people who were Jewish and the people who were non-Jewish were celebrating the types and shadows together. And you see this in particular in Esther chapter 8, where people look on and see the Jewish queen Esther saving the Jews from certain destruction under Haman, and then many different people from many different nations became Jews. In other words, they were brought into all the types and shadows that pointed ultimately forward to Jesus Christ. So what Les Feldick is teaching is not only destructive, but it is doctrinally horrifying, and it is hard to believe that a person like this has a standing in the evangelical Christian church today. We are coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And again, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we cannot do what we do. Please give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And if you want to join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, to a family member, or to a friend.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once confessed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. But you can learn how to respond. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, how to have a civil discussion about abortion, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Tim listening in Wood Wayne, Texas on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, I just wanted to start off by saying thanks for everything you've been doing for the body of Christ, and you've been a great influence on me. Just becoming a disciple and studying the Word of God, and it's just been a great experience, just studying it and learning and growing. My question is about one of your quotes last week. It was, if you don't have Mother Church, you don't have the Father. And I'd like for you to explain that to me. I just don't see that supported in Scripture.
Sure. Yeah, that was a quote by St. Cyprian, and a rough paraphrase of that quote. But here's the point. The point is, from a biblical perspective, and I think that this is not just an isolated passage here or there, but this is the context of Scripture. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. So we're not born again as rugged individuals. We're born into a body of believers of which Christ is the head. And therefore, in Hebrews, we're told, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. When you are baptized, you're baptized into a community of faith in which you take up your cross and you daily follow Jesus Christ, in which you partake of the graces whereby we can become by grace what God is by nature. We never become what God is by nature, but we receive the graces that bring us into intimacy with the triadic one. So spiritual growth is impossible apart from being connected to a healthy, well-balanced church. It is in the church that, again, we receive the Word and the sacraments as means of God's grace. And thus, it is crucial that we emulate the early Christians who devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. You find that in Acts chapter 2. So the idea that you would be divorced from the body of Christ is completely anathema in Scripture, because there is a temple and building blocks in the temple. There is a head and there's a body. There are many metaphors that are used to show the inextricable relationship between the two, and that's why St. Cyprian is saying he cannot have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother.
Okay. I know that in Scripture, it does teach that if you don't have Christ, you don't have the Father. That's very plain and very clear. To me, it's a little misleading, you know, and it does seem to kind of lean towards Catholicism to me.
The one thing I will tell you is that my theology does not lean towards Catholicism. I'm personally Orthodox, so the two could not be more distant. I mean, I certainly believe that the Roman Catholic Church is a true church with significant error, but I don't lean towards Catholicism.
Okay.
And this was a quote by an early church father, so this is not a Roman Catholic quote.
Okay. Well, thank you, Hank.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Scott in White Rock, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Scott.
Oh, glad to hear you again, Hank. Yeah, you know what? I think when I think of the doxology of AA is, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And you know who wrote that? That was that famous Catholic guy. I don't know, it was Thomas Aquinas or something like that. But anyways, my question to you is, I would like you to make a comment on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I would like to say that I dearly love my dear brothers in the Lord, Chuck Swindoll and Charles Stanley. But I would like you to talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the cost of discipleship, and if that man was a psychologist, what would he say about the toxicity of the United States Congress? And I know that's a big, heavy, heavy hit. So anyways, love of God, grace of the Lord Jesus, fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you. That's it.
Well, thank you for your call. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, yes, it's interesting from a political standpoint, because if you think about his life, he said that if we claim to be Christians, there's no room for expediency. And I think that the problem today in the halls of power is expediency over ethic and moral. And as a result of his particular stand for truth as opposed to expediency, he was not only someone who would denounce a Nazi regime that had turned its Führer into an idol and a god, but also a confessional church more concerned with survival than the sins of anti-Semitism and slavery. And so he famously said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And those for Bonhoeffer were not just words. That was what he lived by. He could have stayed in America, but he went back and he died. He died in accordance with his convictions. And this date ought to be imprinted on the minds of every one of us. It's a seminal date in history. It's an interesting date. April 9, 1945. Bonhoeffer at the time was 39 when he experienced the ultimate cost of discipleship by special order of Reichsfuhrer Heinrich Himmler. He was hanged at the concentration camp at Flossenbürg. And what's interesting about this date is that this is the date of liberation. In other words, he missed it by a day, but he was true to his convictions. Now, if you look at his theology is not a theology that I would resonate with. But if you look at his martyrdom and his valor and his commitment to principle, as opposed to the contrast that you see of expediency, not only in the halls of power with respect to Congress or the presidency or even with the Supreme Court, but also in the church today, you see a stark contrast between someone who is willing to live and die on principle as opposed to simply seek power and fame and attribution. So in this sense, his life, I think, is a great example to us all. And so I am a person that has, over the years, been very much attracted to the consistency of his life with his testimony. I'm not attracted to his theology. He was a universalist in some senses. His position was as liberal as Karl Barth's on many theological matters. But in terms of a man that stood for his convictions and paid the ultimate cost of discipleship. What a great example he is. The quote of the day, let me see if I can find one. I actually wasn't thinking about a quote of the day until just now. The quote of the day, let's think about humility. Our humility serves us falsely when it leads us to shrink from any duty. The plea of unfitness or inability is utterly insufficient to excuse us. Spiros Zodiades. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And as always, a reminder that this is a joint effort between listeners and the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We are making a difference in the lives of people all over the world, not only through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but through the Hank Unplugged podcast and much, much more. The Christian Research Journal, if you're not subscribing to it, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And as I mentioned in the first segment today, when you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or to a friend. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.